SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
All right, off and running on Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio, Sirius Channel 159, Lisi in the cockpit, taking you around the league, NBA, Major League Baseball, college football, and NFL, nothing better. Carver out on assignment. He'll be back tomorrow. We'll get you locked and ready for all the weekend action, and we'll put it with the golf. Don't worry, I got you prepped and ready. Toasty, him. Nothing better than Carver and Lisi. Put it with the golf. Hashtag put it with the golf. I think Carver might have a couple of players in the mix after round number one. We'll get you locked and loaded. You want to join in on the conversation tonight, give us a call, 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. A lot to get to. We also have UFC 303. Matias will get you locked and prepped for the weekend. He's got some great picks. He's on a heater. He's a little upset about the Copa action throughout the week, but we got Copa picks. We got Bronny to the Lakers. We got the Clippers that maybe solidified themselves for the upcoming season. The Knicks making moves. Nothing better than the NBA draft. We got my guy Castle, top five pick. We saw Zach Edey taking ninth overall. Matias, join me now, because I do want to get your thoughts. There was, you know, the talk all throughout the week about LeBron James being reunited with his son, the 19-year-old star for the USC Trojans, not selected in round number one, but he gets taken in round number two. That was the talk. It's almost like the waves parted to allow Bronny James to be reunited with his father. He'll be there along with Tennessee star guard Dalton Kennett. I read reports that J.J. Redick is all of a sudden drafting up plays, and you know how I feel. I think NBA coaches are the most minimal in regards to what they do for their respective organizations. They're more like babysitters than they are coaches. So give me your thoughts overall about what you saw in the NBA draft number one. And is it going to be that much of a media hype with the LeBron and Bronny? Now, this is like a dynamic duo, right? There's no way LeBron's going to move on from J.J. Redick and the L.A. Lakers.
You know, Joe, I was the type of guy that said, how could Bronny be drafted if he couldn't even play in the NCAA? You know, I believe in the process. I believe in guys playing their way in to play big minutes, earning their position on the team, you know, all that type of stuff. But I don't want to, you know, jab on Bronny, because Kensei Tominaga, the Japanese stud on Nebraska, didn't get drafted. And if you would have told me earlier in the year that Tominaga wouldn't get drafted and Bronny James would, I would be thinking, holy smokes. Like, something's definitely wrong. A kid who stole the show, you know, right, would bring tons of money into the league, have a lot of eyes on him from a different market. How could a guy like that not get drafted? An elite type of shooter. Well, that's just a thing, Joe. He can't be a rim protector. He can't play great defense. You know, Bronny brings all these different types of intangibles to the table. So, therefore, he worked his way into the league based off of his athleticism. We haven't seen anything else outside of his private workouts. But you can't tell me that what he does in a private workout is going to propel him into the NBA. You know, what matters is game time minutes. And I think you, a former athlete, would be the first person to tell me, you better play in a game in order for me to be able to judge you the correct way. I don't care what we do inside practices when the intensity and the crowd isn't involved into a game. So, you know, I don't want to pick on the kid. He's a young guy. I hope he succeeds. But I think he's going to be in the G League. He's going to get some minutes. He's going to fade away. And then the next level of players will come over and take his spot with due time. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But he could go play in Europe. He could go play in Australia. There's nothing wrong with that, Joe.
No, there's not. But let me ask you this, because I do feel it's the NBA draft is a little bit different, and I think much different than the NFL draft, because when you take a player, and there's only two rounds, right? But if you take a player in the top two rounds in the NFL, it's got to be a plug and play immediately, right? And I base it off a body of work, and I know a lot is, you know, they feel projection and fit. But what you see is basically what you get on 95%, in my opinion, in the college football players, okay? It's very rare you find that diamond in the rough, you know, that one particular player, like Cooper Kupp, yes, you found them, right? The under-the-radar players, the Khalil Macks and the Eric Fishers from the Mac. But a majority of the success, especially at the quarterback position, has always been FBS star quarterbacks, right? Now, people will say Joe Flacco, he started his career at Pittsburgh before he went to Delaware, right? It's very rare you get those Kurt Warner type of situations and Air McNair, right? With, you know, so what you see basically is what you get. If you can't cut it in college, most likely you're not going to cut it in the NFL. In the NBA, though, isn't it all upside? Isn't it all, you know, what can this player project long term? Like, Bronny might have more upside in regards to 2 or 3 years down the road than the player from Nebraska. And the player from Nebraska, though, again, you know, he's a sharpshooter, but that's it. He's got a certain role. If J.J. Redick, right, wasn't a Hall of Famer on the next level and he led Duke to a national championship, if he couldn't cut it, why would the Nebraska player be taken over Bronny in that regard?
It's wild, right? The fact that we're even talking about this is wild, Joe. Arash Markazi posts on Twitter, got a text from a friend. So let me get this straight. In the past 72 hours, the Lakers hired LeBron James' podcast co-host, who never coached before, to be their head coach, and drafted his son, who was a reserve on a 15-18 USC team, with their second pick. What the hell are they doing?
Yeah, but you know that's the way it is, right? As LeBron goes,
it's wild.
It's like Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. It's the same thing, isn't it? Is there any difference between what Aaron Rodgers has done with the Jets and what LeBron basically is doing with LA? You know that the team is basically run by LeBron. What LeBron wants, LeBron gets, unless he doesn't decide to be there anymore. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. They roll out the red carpet. You miss OTAs, hey, no big deal. If somebody else misses it, they're cut. So it's a double standard, I agree. But, you know, they take on these stars with the extra baggage, right? And that's why I say, in regards to J.J. Redick, Matias, what is J.J. Redick going to do that's so different than what we saw in the situation with Darvin Ham, number one, and number two, the situation that played out in Milwaukee where Giannis and Dame Time, you know, had their former coach fired in favor of Doc Rivers? The inmates want to run the asylum, no?
Well, the thing is, I have a lot of respect for J.J., you know, as a basketball player, one, Joe, but also his attention to detail. And I think that we're in a time right now, 2024, when you watch the NBA and everything is attention to detail, you know, the smallest of spaces, offensive playmaking, putting up certain types of offensive plays. Like when they drafted Dalton Kincaid yesterday, which I thought was a fan-freaking-tastic pick, Joe. I cannot believe that he dropped.
Do you really?
I love it. I swear to you, Joe. I was driving home yesterday. I looked at the draft board. The Lakers were up. And I thought to myself, how the hell is Kincaid still on the board? And the Lakers were due up, and I said, man, the Lakers better take Dalton Kincaid right here. And sure enough, they did. I love the pick for them. And looking at J.J. Redick and the way that he played basketball, don't forget, J.J. Redick was more than an elite shooter, Joe. He had the ability to find himself open, quick pass, quick release, put up the shot, drill the shot, we move on. You know, he was a very serious player as well, always with the Clippers, you know, and with every other team. You know, he's older than his age. You know, that's for damn sure, Joe. But, you know, we'll get more into this coming up after the break.
Yes, we will, baby. We're just getting started. Coming right back. Rev those engines. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm going to need, I'll tell you what, I said it, and I'm gonna, we're in the final stretch run, less than 60 days away from the start of the college football season. I want to hype a montage, Matias. I'm going to give you some tunes for the college football season. You're going to meld them together. I need college football. I want to hear fan bases. I want to hear South Carolina, Space Odyssey 2000. I want to hear Enter Sandman. I need that for the college football. I need it. Intros. I want to hear play. Give me a little cut of Ron Franklin back in the day. That's right. I want to hear Ron Franklin.
Let's do some school fight songs, Joe.
No, I don't want fight songs. No. That's no. I want
any Rocky Top?
I need rock. That's what I need. I need the environment of Williams-Brice. I need the environment of Baton Rouge. I need the environment in the Big House. I need to be pumped up. I need a whiteout at Penn State, baby. Get me going. That's what I want. I'm going to give you cuts to one of my favorite guys, you know, the announcers back in the day. Gary Bender, Ron Franklin. There's one. Never forget it. 1996. And for those that don't know, I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan by heart. 1980. Herschel, I could go through the list, but family play. My girls love the LSU Tigers, so we buy in to Baton Rouge as well. I know it goes against the grain, but Robert Edwards is my favorite running back all time in terms of college football, 1994 through 1998, right? He transitioned under Ray Goff, went from defensive back to running back, right? He played against Peyton Manning in Tennessee, and Ron Franklin's on the call. I'm going to send it to you, Matias. 5'10", he's loose. That's all I want to hear. I want to hear 5'10", he's loose. Let's go. I'm all pumped up. I had a great day in the gym. We're talking college football. We're talking NBA. Let's go, baby. This is what it's all about. And I'm telling you right now, at the end of June, I'm telling you now, there's no shot. I'll go out on a limb. No shot the Lakers with J.J. Redick make the playoffs, okay? Because it's a dumpster fire. It's the same thing as Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks. They think they're just going to sprinkle pixie dust on the Lakers, and all of a sudden, things are going to change. The team is gutless. LeBron and AD don't play back-to-back. They don't. And if they couldn't win last year, they're not going to win in 2024. I'm sorry. They're beyond their prime. They're old men. And it shows sold. And I don't think J.J. Redick is a bad coach, Matias, because I don't think he could do anything different than half these other coaches. Okay, you got to be a coddler in the NBA. You don't have to be a game planner. That's why they ran out the former Bucks coach and got somebody that coddled Giannis and Dame Time out there in the Bucks. How good did that work out for you? And that's why Mazzulla won in Boston. He didn't do anything special. Did Mazzulla do anything special in Boston this year? Come on.
No, he didn't do anything special, but at the same time, he did go walk into a job where you already had a prime Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, which are excellent picks, you know, by the Celtics front office going back-to-back years. You know, those are two of the anchors. It took time.
Yeah, but if you have great players, you win in the NBA, don't you, for the most part?
Well, they got to stick together, Joe. You know, it's a battle of attrition. At the same time, like, the best team doesn't always win the NBA Finals. Sometimes it's the healthiest team. And when you look at this Boston Celtics team, they did lose Porzingis, but I think it's actually more impressive that they won the damn championship with Porzingis being out. You know, they pretty much won it with what they've had recently. They never even needed Porzingis, really. So that's what makes it even more impressive. But, Joe, I got to ask you a question on this draft, because this is a big question going into the draft about Zach Edey. Is he a top 10 pick? Is he not a top 10 pick? He was a college basketball player of the year, a freaking monster, if you ask me, you know, that led Purdue to the national championship finals, which they lost, obviously, to UConn. But do you think he was worth a top 10 pick? Because him going to Memphis, I think it's a great move, man. I think Memphis, You know, if it wasn't for John Morant, you know, doing the whole ghetto thing, he would have been playing this year. And the Memphis Grizzlies would more than likely be a playoff team if John Morant was actually playing. So to have Zach Edey now being inserted into this Memphis Grizzlies team, and with John Morant coming back, hopefully a newfound man, this Grizzlies team is kind of scary going into next year, man. They have a whole new anchor that you have to worry about, that you literally have to game plan for however many minutes he gets on the floor.
I think Zach Edey will be a better pro than we've seen in regards to other big men that have come into the league that have failed. And Odom, isn't the Greg Odom from Ohio State comes to mind in terms of, you know, big men that never lived up to expectations in regards to that. You have a player that can single-handedly take a game over with his size, right? And he's more athletic than what you think. Is he a little rigid and stiff and not as, you know, athletic as some other, you know, leaner, you know, shorter big men? Yes, he's like that. But he does take it to the rim with authority, and I think, you know, in the NBA, that's something that is, you know, in regards to big picture, that last in regards to being able to come in and plug and play and at least get minutes right away. So I believe that that's something that maybe the Grizzlies can, you know, elevate. They can take his game to the next level. They can maybe evolve. And again, when you have a productive player that led his team to a national championship appearance against UConn, you're dealing with a player that stepped up in big game time type of situations, tournament type of situations. That transitions to the next level in regards to the NBA. And I think that when you look at the big picture and the body of work, you can't go wrong when you have a big man underneath, especially with teams not playing defense in today's games. So that is very important in regards to that, Matias. That's why I think, you know, it's not that bad of a pick. For his size, he's definitely worthy of a top 10 selection. You're telling me it's very rare you get a 7-footer in the NBA that can move like Zach Edey. So we'll come back. We'll talk some more NFL. We'll talk a little golf. Coming right back on Carver and Lisi.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Dalton Connect talking a little Zach Edey. Matias, was there anything from the NBA draft that stood out? Do you like who the Clippers got in regards to making some noise this year? Are you back to believing in the LA Clippers as a potential championship team, or are they going to be completely gutless again and limp out first round of the playoffs the way they did against the Dallas Mavericks? Because I don't know. I have to see them play. But again, all this hype, Kawhi, and now Paul George being moved on, and that whole foundation and nucleus being upset. Are you still buying into your L.A. Clippers as a potential NBA West champion in 2025?
No, the ship has sailed, Joe. I think last year was their window, and Kawhi got hurt, and they couldn't close it out. You know, that's the way the cookie crumbles. I think that they need to get younger. I don't think that I don't care about their second round pick this year. You know, Christie out of Minnesota. He's a lengthy type of guard who could be a rim protector, a good shooter, but not a guy who's going to be playing this year whatsoever or be in the lineup. You know what I mean? That's why he's a second-round guy. You know, he's a project. But, no, I don't have high hopes for the Clippers. They need to make a drastic move. I think they need to shake things up. I think it's gotten stale. I think the Clippers had a great chance of winning a championship when they put the squad together, you know, for the bubble. And then the 2 years after that, except they just, you know, they just couldn't stay healthy. But, you know, that's the same story, different year for the Clippers, Joe. When you look back at, you know, the other great Clipper teams, and for those people watching the show Clipped on Hulu, you know, that's a show right now that's detailing the Clippers' 2013 run, where they lost to Oklahoma City in the second round after defeating the Golden State Warriors before their championship run began. You know, that was a year where the Clippers could have maybe have won the championship, and then not even mentioning the following year where they blew it against the Rockets in the second round, having a 16-point lead in the fourth quarter with about 8 minutes to go, and they choked that game away as well. And everybody thought the Clippers had a great chance of winning the championship that year, considering they beat the Tim Duncan-led Spurs in the first round with Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, Boris Diaw, you know, Splitter, that great Spurs team. Except, again, they dropped the ball, and it seems like every year somebody got hurt. If it's not Blake Griffin that was getting hurt, it was Chris Paul getting hurt, a broken hand, a bad hamstring, a popped quad. You know, the list of injuries continues, and then here comes Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and then Kawhi Leonard can't stay on the floor. And it was damaged goods to begin with, but that was a gamble. The Clippers need to get younger, Joe, and if I'm the Clippers, I find a way to trade Paul George. A lot of teams have interest in Paul George, but Paul George is looking for a four-year contract for the max, and the Clippers don't want to give him that. They want to give him a three-year deal, you know, for not nearly the max, because they still want to win a championship. And if they pay George all this money, they're not going to sniff a championship because they can't get anybody else after that, Joe. So the Clippers are in a tough spot, and it's time to cut loose what we had and bring in some new guys, some new blood.
Cut the fat and run lean. Start cutting the fat. They're 35-1 to win the championship. They have the same odds as Miami and Phoenix and Golden State. And I saw this too, which I think is a joke, and I'll say it now. You know, can Golden State win again? Meaning, like, you know, a title? I don't believe so. And it's not a knock against Steph, but they're old. And again, when you have up-and-coming teams in regards to just, you know, what we saw, Dallas, you know, Luka, they can add some pieces, and Edwards, and seeing the run that Minnesota made in terms of knocking off Denver. Denver and Joker are going to be there. The Warriors aren't going to be there. Outside of Steph, and Steph is flip a coin now. You know, pick the day that Steph wants to play. You know, one day up, one day down, one day he scores 50, the next day he's scoring 14. You can't have that. Klay Thompson was basically, the invisible man for much of the year. And you're not going to win with that type of nucleus anymore. You don't have a bunch of young players that could step up. I would tell you this right now. Phoenix, Golden State, LA Lakers, and your Clippers, no shot to win it next year. What do you think about that? If I gave you those four teams and the field, would you take the field or would you take a shot on one of those four? Yes or no?
I would take the field, Joe. The Minnesota Timberwolves are winning the championship next year.
Whoa! We'll come back. Guess what? It's football talk right here on Carver and Lisi. Coming right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Left off talking about the culmination of the NBA draft. I didn't watch a lot of it. Just want to get in on the hot topics in regards to the LA Lakers. Some of the teams, Matias left off saying he believes the T-Wolves will win the championship. Not a bad pick. When you have Anthony Edwards, the transition in regards to losing the series to the Dallas Mavericks, it's similar. I believe, if you believe that Anthony Edwards is that guy, that MJ type of guy, it's similar to when the Bulls lost to the Celtics early in MJ's career. He elevated after that, learned from his mistakes, and maybe Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns could potentially hoist the championship in 2025. We'll see. Only time will tell. A long way away from that. But I did talk...
Joe, the thing about the Timberwolves, Joe, I got to add this, Joe, Their draft night last night was special. It was special. They end up getting up in the draft and getting the guard because Mike Conley Jr. is getting a little old now. And they get
Mike Conley's old as dirt.
He is, but he's good, Joe. He's a good basketball player. But now they got Rob Dillingham. And the thing that really got me going with the Wolves is them going after the Illinois guard, Terrence Shannon Jr.
I like Terrence Shannon Jr. Very good.
I love him, Joe. He's a player. He's a dog, yes. Joe. Tell me enough. Now that they got Anthony Edwards, more help. You know what I mean? This guy plays like Edwards. He attacks the rim. He has a great shot. Big-time shot maker as well. Loves the ball in the brightest of moments. You know, when you look back at that Illinois team, whenever the lights were shining bright, who wanted the ball? He did, Joe. And you know what? That's a massive get for the Wolves, a team that was this close to getting to the finals. You know?
No.
Big draft night.
I believe that Anthony Edwards proved to me that he could single-handedly take games over. Is he as fine-tuned right now at the end of the season? No, but I think another year under his belt, he has the potential to be that MJ type of guy, especially from the leadership perspective, especially from that dog. We talk about the intensity, the ability to just, you know, want to win. That is the biggest thing I think about Anthony Edwards is you could see it on his face, right? He is that guy, almost like MJ. He hates to lose. He's, you know, you hate to have that taste in your mouth when you walk into the locker room down 3-0 to the Dallas Mavericks. He is that type of player that hates that feeling, that Tom Brady, that Pat Mahomes type of guy that can be, you know, a marquee Hall of Fame player throughout his career. So we'll see. You know, that let's see if he learns from last year. You know, the biggest thing is, let's see how he starts the season. You can't have lapses where one game you score 45 and the next game you're non-existent. You have to show the consistency from the start of the year to the end of the regular season, and then in the playoffs, you have to kick it up a notch. You have to show, hey, you know what? Now it's do or die. Now we go from 100% to 180% because we want to win a title. Let's see if he's that guy. I believe he is. But again, you know, the West is loaded. There's a number of teams, Matias, that could potentially do it. I guess the biggest question is, before we talk about the NFL, do you think Boston is going to have a letdown, or do they have the ability to be that Pat Mahomes in Kansas City, just be there consistently in the final every single year for the next 3 or 4 years?
You know, Joe, that's a great question, but they do have the roster to get back to the finals, considering the East is not, you know, a marching ground. You know, you got the Sixers who want to be the best team, but, you know, who else in the East can really say, we're going to get this much better to beat the Celtics? The Celtics had a bad series in the playoffs, and they still won the series. Yeah, everybody right. was saying, oh, they weren't challenged. They're not going to win the championship because they're not good enough. They showed a bunch of holes against bad teams in the playoffs, you know. They lost game two against the Heat. They lost game two multiple times, you know, in this playoff run that they had. They didn't care. You know what I mean? They got better when they got to the finals. They played their best basketball in the finals, if you ask me. And that just goes to show you, man, they were ready to eat. And you look at Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. As long as they stay healthy, they're going to have a chance because those are excellent, excellent basketball players. And they're also two-way basketball players. And Porzingis, after getting the surgery, he's not going to be back until a later part in the beginning of the season. But that's all right. Because remember game one when Porzingis came back from injury? What did he do when he came out? He came out scorching in that game one in the finals. Absolutely scorching. You know what I mean? And that's coming off the bench. That's coming off of no minutes. So if they get back a healthy Porzingis, and you also have a great, you know, backup when you look at their bench and when you look at the guys that are just buying in with limited minutes. You know, look at Peyton Pritchard coming off the bench, making a half-court shot in the finals, making big-time threes, not, you know, overextending himself and taking too many shots. It seems like everybody on that team has molded themselves to their role, and there's no me in that team. You know, they play hardcore defense. When you look at the defense that Jaylen Brown specifically played in the finals, when you look at Jaylen Brown, who won the MVP trophy, his speech, this isn't my trophy, it's our trophy. It's me and Jason Tatum's trophy. We are both the MVPs of that team. If they keep that mentality, and that's the same mentality that Kobe and Shaq could not keep, Joe. You know what I mean?
Okay.
If they keep that type of mentality, yeah, Joe, they can win a championship again.
We'll see. We'll see. This is the Knicks year, right? Because, you know, there's the talk now with Mikal Bridges. You got the Nova 3, right? It's Nova 4 now. You have everything potentially. Maybe there's a minor letdown in terms of Boston getting fat. We have to see, right? Only time will tell. We don't know how Boston are. Are they still hungry? You know, we know about Tatum. We know about Jaylen Brown. But at the end of the day, are they that Pat Mahomes type of player where, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter. The role players that we have around us, when the playoff time comes, we're going to take games over, and that's it. We want to win it all. all costs. We will see. We thought Joker was that team, right? In regards to and Murray, we thought that they were potentially, you know, going to be there for multiple years. Look, they were a one-hit wonder, bowed out this year. Now I understand injuries. I get that, but still, you still have to be able to pick up the pieces when a series is on the line, and that's what the NBA is all about. We'll see. It's exciting. I will say this: I'll tune in when the playoffs start. Throughout the regular season, I could care less. To me, again, I'll tune in during the playoffs and maybe on a heater if I want to hit a same-game parlay. I can't do it anymore, Matias. I have to talk about the NFL. I have to talk about college football. It's on the horizon. What do you got? He's got more alt. Oh, I thought he was telling you were texting me some Copa picks for the weekend. Thankfully, you're not. But let's talk about the NFL. I don't know if you saw. Khan came out. They signed the deal, Jacksonville did, with the city for $1.4 billion. He came out and he said that the 1-5 end of the regular season, Jacksonville started 8-3, they ended 1-5, failed to make the playoffs, was an organizational failure. And I believe that as well. Now, he attributed it to injuries with Christian Kirk and Zay Flowers, but I think it was Doug Peterson. And I put a lot of the blame on Doug Peterson, the offensive staff, and more importantly, Trevor Lawrence, that became a human turnover machine in the second half of the season in two key games against Tampa Bay and Cleveland. I think he threw six picks. He needs to be better. This team needs to find an identity. They went away from Travis Etienne and Tank Bigsby in the run game. If they can't run the football this year, I'm not so sure they're going to be a 10-win football team. But I do want to ask, because I do believe, even though Doug Peterson took this team to a playoff appearance a couple years ago, when you hear that type of talk, that's showing that the pressure's on. It's do or die. We'll get Matias's take as well. We're coming right back. Jacksonville and the NFL right here on Carver and Lisi.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi. This is it, the calm before the storm. Can you smell it? Long off season of college and pro football. It's less than 60 days away. I left off talking about the Jacksonville situation with the owner Khan coming out and saying it was an organizational failure. When you hear that type of talk, it's putting pressure on the coach. You just gave a boatload of money to re-sign Trevor Lawrence. He's one of the highest paid quarterbacks now in the NFL. Do I believe he's on the same level as Joe Burrow? Absolutely not. Joe Burrow took his team to two AFC championship games and one Super Bowl appearance. He can take a game over. Do we believe that Trevor Lawrence could be that type of quarterback? I will say this. First year under Urban Meyer, he looked like a deer in the headlights. He did elevate his game the first year with Doug Peterson. He regressed a little bit last year. I did not see the same type of confident quarterback in terms of the reads and progressions. I understand he was a little bit banged up, but guess what, baby? That's the NFL. You have to play through injury. They have to scrape you up. And if you're the marquee quarterback, the face of the franchise, you have to fight through that. Look at Pat Mahomes. Multiple ankle injuries, played in a Super Bowl. Tom Brady, you fight through it. You find a way to get it done. You can't put your team at a disadvantage by turning the football over. That's something that Trevor Lawrence failed to do in the second half of the regular season. And I don't care that the wide receivers were hurt. I don't care that they had multiple injuries. If you're that guy, you find a way to make those guys around you better. You find a way to fit the ball into small windows and make plays. That's it. That's why you get paid the millions of dollars. It's do or die. Either you could do it or somebody else will get in your spot and they'll do it for you. That's it. It's a very small window in the NFL as it relates to starting quarterbacks. The window now for college guys coming in is basically a year and a half. That's as much as you get. In that type of window, an organization knows whether you can do the job or not. And if you prove yourself, The way CJ Stroud did last year, guess what? You're going to be the face of the franchise for the next 5 or 10 seasons. They thought Trevor Lawrence was that guy in year two, but last year, the wheels fell off. You can't start 8-3 and then all of a sudden fall off a cliff. So let me ask you, Matthias, I believe Peterson's on the hot seat based off of what I read. Do you feel the organization is putting Peterson under the microscope, or do you believe that they just feel like, you know what, we'll see how it plays out in year number three?
I think they're putting him under the microscope, Joe, because this team is built to win now. You know, they've gone through the growing pains. They've made the right picks. They have offensive weapons, and it just hasn't worked out for them. But for Trevor Lawrence, I think he has all the skills to be, you know, a legit franchise quarterback. He has shown that he has a great arm, has good accuracy for most of the time, could throw the deep ball, can make the right decisions. But what he can't do, and he keeps doing it, he keeps fumbling the ball in the backfield, Joe. He has bad hands when it comes to protecting the ball, when the pocket collapses. You know, that's what all defenses tell each other in the meeting rooms before they go face a Jaguars team led by Trevor Lawrence, is that's a hot potato down there. If the pocket collapses, look for the ball on the ground. Don't think because you're sacking the quarterback is going to hold on to the ball. Because if you're going to sack Trevor Lawrence, there's a pretty good damn chance that the ball's going to be let loose and you're going to be able to recover it. He had 12 fumbles in the backfield last year, Joe. Joshua Dobbs had 14. Tua Tagovailoa had 13. You know, he's just one above Desmond Ridder at 12, Joe. And we know what happened to Desmond Ridder with the Atlanta Falcons because he couldn't hold on to the football. He's now being the backup in Arizona. So that's the thing with quarterback, Joe. You know, you can't just throw the ball. You can't just make the right decisions. You got to take the ball, not lose it. You know what I mean? If you're a quarterback that's losing the ball in the backfield, you're always going to be on the hot seat because turnovers change momentums, change games, puts up extra points on the board. And you being a former football player, Joe, you know that in the locker room, if you're the guy who's dropping the ball multiple games, you know, hold on to the football, Petey. Hold on to the football, Petey. Petey. You know what I mean.
Petey. The great Des Ridder. The great Des Ridder that was supposed to be the savior of the Atlanta Falcons organization. I love it, Matthias. I love it. How you're so quick to throw him under the bus. You were praising him last year. Praising him about being the savior of your organization. Remember Des Ridder? Des Ridder this, Des Ridder that.
Now, the way I see it, man, you guys, the real fans should be thanking me. I'm a loyal companion. I'm a good teammate. I'm not going to throw my teammates under the bus. We got to uplift them. We got to give them positive vibes. We got to get them going into next week. I can't just be being pessimistic all week long, complaining about this, complaining about that, thinking about the past. I got to think of what's ahead, and I got to think of a bright future. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for Desmond Ridder, but now I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking with what we got coming up. Kirk Cousins. I'm thinking about Michael Penix. I'm thinking about the backfield with Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson, who supposedly is going to be the next Christian McCaffrey back there with the amount of touches he's going to be getting in different types of positions. So with that all being said, man, we could talk more Falcon football for hours. But again, Joe, going back to Trevor Lawrence, he's got to take care of that football, baby. You know what I mean.
I do want to talk about your Atlanta Falcons because you're drinking the Kool-Aid again. Are you wearing the velour sweat suit as well with the headband?
Look, no, I'm not going to say that the Falcons are the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Are you joining the cult for Kirk Cousins? Because this guy has never won a playoff game that mattered outside the win against an aging old Drew Brees 6 years ago. Okay? And you're expecting him to come into Atlanta and all of a sudden uplift this team as the second coming of who? Tell me. Who? You don't even know. He could be Brett Favre. Brett Favre with the Minnesota Vikings. They never won anything. Randall Cunningham as well. We'll come back with more NFL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Carver and Lisi, last segment of the show. Carver will be back tomorrow talking about the golf. I'm sorry for the golf Knicks and the syndicate. I know they'll have you locked and loaded throughout the network. I will give my pick. Hopefully he makes the cut. Sam Stevens, 80-1, I think. I think he's 3 under. Sam, don't call me Ben Stevens. Hopefully he's got some gas in regards to the weekend. He was 80-1. I think it was in the area of like 120-1. So he's still cooking with gas in regards to at least he's under par heading into the weekend. So we'll see how that plays out. In regards to the golf, Carver will be back. He'll give us his plays as well tomorrow night. Matthias, so answer me. You believe that Kirk Cousins is the savior for the Atlanta Falcons? And I brought up Brett Favre, that was an aging quarterback that almost took Minnesota to a Super Bowl. They lost right in the championship game. Same thing with Randall Cunningham. He was on the cusp before your Falcons beat him in 98. I mean, that is the upside of Kirk Cousins. Maybe he gets to the championship game, a huge maybe. I'm still selling them, and I can't believe they have better. How disrespectful the books put Atlanta, okay, ahead of Sean McVay and the LA Rams with a Super Bowl winning quarterback and a team that actually made it to the playoffs. They're 12-1, Atlanta is, and the LA Rams are 14-1 to potentially win the NFC is absolutely ridiculous.
I think Kirk Cousins is a perfect type of Tylenol after Desmond Ridder, Joe. Do I think they're going to win the Super Bowl? No, I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. And you're right. He hasn't won a big-time game consistently. He hasn't won more than one big-time game in a row. In order to win a Super Bowl, you got to win a bunch of big games in a row, Joe. So, you know, until he does that, of course I don't feel completely confident and great about it. But looking forward to the whole season, you know, the 17 weeks, I am excited for it. And I'm sure the whole entire fan base in Atlanta and outside of Atlanta, like myself, can say the same thing, Joe. You know what I mean? This is a guy who's respected a lot around the locker room. And not that he's just respected. He respects others around the locker room. It's a great type of teammate to have in the building. He's the first one there. He's the last one out. You know, he's talking to his receivers. He's getting guys ready for the game, making them feel good. Is he going to make mistakes? Yeah, he's going to make mistakes. But it's football. Everybody makes mistakes, Joe. You know what I mean? He's not going to play perfect football. But do I see the Atlanta Falcons winning the NFC South? Yes. I do see them winning the NFC South. I see them having a great season. I see them winning up to 10 to 11 games. I think they're going to roll. God. I don't think they're going to have the toughest schedules.
No
I do, Joe.
Way.
I do. You could take that to the bank, Joe. Take it to the bank. Joe. Sell. You could sell that we're going to win the NFC South, Joe. Let's go. And you know what, Joe? One more thing for there. I'm sure they're going to be showing this in the locker room all season long, especially during camp. They got to replay the final moments of that New Orleans Saints game against the Atlanta Falcons, where the Saints needed to take a knee in the final moments of the game when the game was over. It was like a 30-point blowout or something like that. And they ran it in for a touchdown. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you have a gutless team. I'll tell you that. They got no shot to win the NFC Championship. You heard it here first. Kirk Cousins is a loser in playoff type of situations, and I can't back him now. I would put my money on Matt Stafford, the LA Rams at 14-1, Jordan Love, and the Green Bay Packers at, I believe, plus 850 in regards to that. So we'll see how that plays out. We'll get Matthias's take in regards. Major League Baseball for Friday, couple of smash specials. I think the Phillies are going to break out. They're playing the Marlins. They sailed through the total on Thursday. You got an 8.5 number, early start in Philadelphia, 6:21 Eastern time. You got Tyler and Sanchez. That's got gas can special put all over it. They might be good. I don't care. 8.5, it's juiced to the under at minus 120. I like the way the Marlins hit. On Thursday night, I think the Phillies can add 4 or 5 runs for themselves. I think they sail through that 8.5. Gamble at your own risk, but this could be a crypto special to get you started for the weekend. We might alt that baby up to 10.5. I also potentially like the over in Atlanta. Over the 9, Pirates and the Braves. Carver will be back tomorrow from Matthias. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.